Good evening, Baltimore, and hello, America. Welcome to the Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Shanga Bell. This is Radio for Your Life. And as always, we'll discuss trending and not so trending topics to wake up the most important relationship of all, the one with yourself. It's an honor to be here with you this evening. Enjoy the ride, kick off, download the app. And hey, I want to make an announcement at the top. Don't forget, nobody kill anybody for 72 hours. Baltimore ceasefire is in effect August the 4th through August the 6th. Support my girl, Erica Bridgeport. Bridgeport and, Baltimore ceasefire all day. Tell everybody and get out in the streets, y'all. Just sit out on your stoop, sit out on your porch, because it's not going to happen just by us talking to each other. It is some other folks that we don't necessarily see every day that we have to influence. Follow up this show for questions and comments on our Facebook page, The Relationship Experience. You can send me a direct message on Twitter and IG at Shanga Bell, or you can also email me directly on The Relationship Experience Facebook page. Hashtag any of your questions, hashtag RE Radio Show. And don't forget to hit the podcast on WEAA.org, or you can hit the, RERadioshow.com. We have some guests in studio today. This is like a power, I'll call it a, well, I don't want to say that. I think it's a little condescending when a man says, yes, it's a power woman show. It's not. It is a show with some esteemed women guests. We have an author in studio. We have Bianca Williams, who has written Sideline the Draft. It's a book inspired by true events. I want to say large in part autobiographical, but we'll see, because there's some subtext in there. We have Mikel Ramos. I'm going to say publicly, I'm her number one fan, at least as far as the NWA sports reports go. I'm always listening to her hand over folks, you know, handing over their, I can't say that expletive on word, but, you know, she be giving them the business. She be giving them that work, like Loaded Luck says. She give them that work. And everyone's going to introduce themselves in a minute. And, of course, we have Devonna Bell, producer, segment producer in the beginning of the show, executive producer of the show. She's going to be on also talking with us today. So let's start to my left, because it's a good place to go. Mikel, introduce yourself for those that don't know you. I don't know how they wouldn't, because you're on EAA.
Oh, man. Hello. My name is Mikel Ramos. You can catch me on NWA Sports Report on First Edition with Sean Yost. I also happen to produce Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad, so make sure you tune in at 7 p.m. to hear what he got going on. And I am currently the host of Rolling with Ramos, not only the segment here on WEAA, but the show that you can find on SoundCloud and on iTunes via The Working Class. So if you want your sports right and you want to hear it, I'm the girl.
Yeah, I'm going to be careful about saying my sports stuff with her. And then let's switch over to my right, Bianca. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bianca Williams, and I am the debut author of Sidelined the Draft.
Sideline the Draft, one of three. This is going to be a trilogy, correct?
Correct.
And you're being a little humble. What else do? You have a partner that I happen to know in business. What else do you do for business?
I actually co-founded an event planning company, Echelon Life, with my best friend, Jasmine Richardson.
Mm-hmm. And Echelon is a pretty big company. So, some of the people you represent are?
We've represented lots of football players, NFL players. We've worked with charities, some companies in the Baltimore area.
That's how you know you're big, folks, when you got to be vague, when you got to say some companies. That's some CIA, DEA level stuff. So that's all right. I'll get it. This is the Relationship Experience. We're going to get it out of her. She's going to get some tears or some company names, some people's names. And, of course, last but not least, the ever important executive producer, Devonna, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, hey, everybody. Hey, Baltimore. I'm excited to join the conversation today. Thank you, Shanga.
Yeah, of course. So you had to be on here because, large in part, some of the themes we're going to be talking about. And all listeners, you should join in the conversation at 410-319-8888 on your source for Cool Jazz and More. This is WEAA 88.9 FM. Because there are some, this show started large in part because Ramos and I were having a good conversation out in the parking lot one day leaving the radio station, and just her involvement as a female in sort of a, I won't really call it a largely dominated field of entertainment, sports entertainment, but I guess it is. Male sports dominated entertainment, and how serious she is, which is one of the reasons she gives people that Loaded Luck work. You want to expound on what sort of led us to come here together from your viewpoint, Ramos?
Well, you know, on the larger scale, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, when you're in football, the key is to hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy when during the Super Bowl. And when you're in basketball, you're playing in the NBA, you want to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. I mean, the emblem of the NBA is Jerry West. But our faces make it up, the NFL and the NBA. And then to a degree, when you come to look at the black athletics period, we hold such a candle. People, kids actually want to be LeBron James. I don't know anybody that didn't want to be like Mike. So as far as women in the industry is concerned and kind of transitioning to that, this is an industry that needs a soul. But sometimes don't do the best bias. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things that we can bring to the table as far as the industry is concerned. And there's a lot of great talent out there. And, you know, I just hope that as far as what we have forward have already, that's just not the stopping ground. I mean, there's others like me. I have peers out there that, you know, want to bring the next element. Jemele Hill can't be the only person that everybody respects to critique things. And you have Ramona Shelbourne and those of that nature. You know, there's a heightened level to that. And hopefully as the industry continues to grow, which is really a beautiful industry, I always tell everybody I'm blessed to be able to do what I do. And, you know, I share with you, you know, I had a chance to go out to L.A. First of all, I'm in L.A. It's Kobe's last Easter, and look at my seats. It doesn't get any better than that. And hopefully those doors can continue to open, and they're more open to letting more of us come in.
And I'm going to use that point to segue over to Bianca in a second, but sort of I agree with what you're saying. And in the last few years, there's been a lot of hype and publicity about some of the ESPN or CNN anchors, not CNN, ESPN anchors coming into the locker room. They're sort of pretty women, they're blonde women, they're, you know, sort of somewhat, you know, they're attractive to see. And then to counter that, it was sort of like Pam Oliver was getting, you know, sort of kicked around and talked about within, you know, the African-American culture, people making disparaging remarks about her wigs. And, you know, there was some controversy as to why she wasn't on the sideline anymore. That sort of thing going on, almost in direct contrast, sort of the opening chapter of your book, you talk about, you know, landing this NFL client who's, you know, big money, obviously, being an attractive woman and wanting to remain, quote unquote, air quotes, professional, but not being, but also dealing with the sensuality of your own desires and seeing, you know, this sort of stalwart figure as something other than merely a bottom line. So speak about that and coming from that perspective, Bianca.
Well, it is difficult. Each time we approached a client, I mean, we had to still be all business. We had to put a proposal together. You are competing with other men, other women, and as black women, you have to work twice as hard, and we would always go above and beyond the call of duty. So if they asked for a proposal, I mean, we were giving everything from nuts to bolts. So we would win the business, and then, again, you're right. You know, the guy, the athlete, he is attracted to you, but you have to remain like, this is a business transaction. You know, we are working together. We have to keep it professional, and mm-hmm. you have to, you know, continue to fight against that while working with them.
Well, sort of what I like about your book is you know, it gives a fly on the wall perspective or a fly in the brain perspective
yes.
of this lady's thoughts. So not only we sort of expect the guys to be attracted to the women, but at least in this sort of first person telling, you're actually attracted to the man. So it's not so much like, yeah, the guys are going to do this. It's like, how do you deal with, and this is, it's revealing in the sense that often, it seems like Ramos and I talked about this, and hopefully you bring it up,
yes.
that the females are overcompensating for, you know, how a male would perceive them by being extra even on point. Mm-hmm. But here you're giving the feminine side, which is like, yeah, I'm
right.
on point, but at the same time, look at his abs.
Right,
and,
well.
Oh, my God, you know, so.
I mean, we are talking about athletes here.
Right.
I mean,
so what
they are staying in shape. So, you know, you find them attractive, but at the same time.
I don't find them attractive.
Well, women. Most women will find them attractive.
We ain't talking about most women. We talking about inspired by true events. So I told you.
Okay. I was attracted. Is that what we're trying to do? Okay.
If I could piggyback off her.
Okay.
Listen,
can you veggie back?
Listen, this is a visual game. And I can't deny that. You know, I mean, when I get on the camera, I have to lure you in with all of this.
Ooh.
Everything mom gave me, dad gave me, shout out to the last name and everything. I got to lure you in. And once I lure you in, then what comes out my mouth, then that attracts you even more.
Right.
I mean, when you go into the locker room, you're basically, these men are getting dressed. They're changing their clothes, you know what I'm saying? And when you walk into there and... You know, when you, the cast of the industry, it's older white men, older black men has been in the industry for a long time. The women, it's older white women or older black women. I walk in, I'm 28. I'm the young tenderoni, I guess we're going to quote Bobby Brown, that walks into there. John Wall is my age.
Right.
I'm looking at that man. You're darn right. I mean, you're a beautiful specimen that was placed here on earth. However, at the end of the day, I have to walk in there with my professional dress. I have to make sure everything's put into the right proportions in the right place, because one bad thought, one bad thing, this is a small industry. We walk in, you know, I mean, I was just telling somebody today, I'm noticing the more and more I get myself out there, the more and more I'm running into the same people. Mm-hmm. And the circle's very small. And you don't want to break that dichotomy, because then you're through. It's hard to build that rep up, and Rumorville is rumor real. So, yes, accept me for who I am, and I appreciate it, but... When my mic come in front of me, I don't want it to be a difference between him asking you the question and I am. One thing, Lisa Salters has been very good to me in giving me advice. And one thing she said at the National Association for Black Journalists Convention, what a tongue twister. one year in, it was Minnesota. She said that Kobe commented on her integrity.
Mm.
And that's what you want.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to talk to you because I always enjoyed your integrity, and that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Thank you for admiring me, but that's what I want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you bring up a great point, and I'd like to ask a question about revealing the culture of the sports industry. So, you know, I find it interesting that we go into the locker room to have conversations about, you know, sports, and I just want to learn more about. You know, why not once these young men come out? Because it's asking so much of both of you in that moment. You know, it makes sense for a male to go in. But then once women enter the industry, then it's like, well, you know, everybody, let's get together and we're not going to do in the locker room type things. Because why should either of you have to suppress and even bring that into play? And, you know, why not just everybody be outside? I feel like it's respecting you and it's respecting them. Why should they have to really talk about, you know, their plays and all, you know, the game and all that, and deny that you're a beautiful woman? In any other setting, they should be looking at you, hey, you know, hey, Ramos, like, you know what I'm saying? Why this, you know, well, when I'm half dressed, I'm half naked, and we're going to talk about the game, really?
But like, that is sort of the game, right? Bianca talks about that in that chapter too, like, you know, the licking of the lips, like,
right.
Oh, Cool J, and
right.
And like, so is that part of the game? If you're just tuning in, we're talking about women in sports and professionalism. This is your host, Changa Bell, and the Relationship Experience on your source for Cool Jazz and More, WEAA 88.9 FM. We have
Say
Bianca
that again.
Williams.
Can you say relationship?
Bianca Williams, author of Sideline the Draft. This is the first of a trilogy. It's on Amazon.com. It's a great book detailing the thoughts and the professionalism of a woman in a male-dominated industry. And we have host of Rolling with Ramos and also co-host of NWA Sports Report here on WEAA and a litany of other things. We have Mikel Ramos in the house, and we have Devonna Bell. So call in with your questions. Oh, it looks like we have Jasmine Richard. Yes, Jasmine. Oh, I know Jasmine. I was trying to read the monitor. This is Beyonce's big business partner. She's on the phone. Jasmine, go ahead and chime in. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Changa. Thanks so much for letting me call in. I just wanted to chime in a little bit on the comments that you were discussing as far as having to be in the position of being a woman in a male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate Devonna's question in reference to why do they interview the athletes in the locker room. I don't think that that's appropriate, because I think that they should be allowed a little bit of time to themselves and come out fully dressed.
Yes,
but that's a whole nother conversation about the perception of athletes that I think we could talk about for hours, because I don't think that you would go into the locker room of Goldman Sachs to talk to the analysts about the stock market. So mm-hmm. I just think that's a whole separate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But being a sportscaster, wanting to be the first one, in news, everyone wants to be the first one to get this soundbite. So I think that's probably a large motivation behind that. But I do think that once it became a co-ed situation, that they could have handled it better. I have been in the locker rooms, and not on purpose. I've been brought by there as a funny prank, and my goodness, it's a lot to behold. So I think that if you carry yourself in a respectful way at all times, that you will get respect. And we are human, so we do notice beautiful things and beautiful people. But I think that if you are professional, you can keep it professional. And I think that what's important is that you're not just competing against them as a woman. You're competing against them because they are high net worth individuals. And so they are constantly being bombarded by people that are trying to sell them something or get money from them. And that's really the issue. The issue is about trust. Attraction is just another distraction. The issue is, are you someone that I can trust with my image, my brand, and my money? And that takes more than looking good.
So has it been harder for you now that there's a culture of women, women in the locker room? Has it been harder for you in terms of your business? You are professional. I've seen you work. So, you know, now when there's this culture now of, well, you know, we can also maybe possibly, if we're all attracted to each other, hook up. Does that make it harder now for you guys as professionals to do your job? Because now people are like, well, you know, Shorty over here is going to, you know, we're going to really hang out. We're really going to chill. And I'm looking for more than just a professional.
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I would love, don't get me wrong, Carmelo was here today. He's gorgeous. Shout out to Lala for getting attached to that. But at the same, I mean, John Wall, wow, he's gorgeous. I mean, it's not like I don't admire these guys as well. And it's funny because in the group of my friends, I'm the one that's like gets upset. Oh, he's cute. No, he missed that shot, or he missed that catch. No, don't talk like that. There's a difference. But at the same time, you know, for me, as far as my own personal life, you know, this is separate. And as much as the allure of them are, and even the money aspect, and my career, yes, it probably would enhance a little bit for the wrong reasons, because I am dating a professional athlete. But at the same time, I don't want that on me. You know, I want to be able to be self-made in the brand to say I got in there and I made who I am. And at the same time, as far as dating is concerned, I would rather have a regular guy. I'd rather have somebody that I met here in Morgan when I was a student and looked to see
you
my transgressions and my growth.
You saw that finger came over this way at first. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you move the finger? Regular Chenga.
Give me, I want a normal guy, or matter of fact, I want somebody that's going to understand me and understand my career. Mm-hmm. That's the two that I need, because now you're talking about your personal standards as well.
Is it making it more difficult in your professional life? Jasmine, I think you were going to answer too.
Right, so I was going to say Bianca is an excellent person to talk to on this topic.
Yeah,
because in our business, we have a no fraternization policy.
Yeah.
So she can speak to that really well.
We do, and it's definitely mentioned in the book because it is inspired by true events. And what happens is you definitely have to keep it professional all the time. In this situation, in this book, he is a client, and they actually don't get along. You know, she hates him. She can't stand him. He's an athlete. She sees everything that he's doing, and she doesn't want to be a part of it. But eventually, they're around each other every day. They're meeting every single day, all day, calls, nonstop. And then they have this successful event, everybody celebrating, and it's just like, you're no longer my client. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, they develop this friendship, mm-hmm. and then the friendship eventually turns into, you know, they fall in love. So I don't want to give away too much. But
no spoilers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, just to not to necessarily troll the conversation, but, you know, we're pulling it back to that locker room thing. So then should men be allowed in Wimbledon when Serena is in the locker room, mm-hmm. and we're trying to get that first, you know, I'm not black.
Be a sports reporter, Tango.
I mean, I'm just saying, we maybe. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get in there and get Serena's take while she, you know, that would never happen.
Right now. Right.
So I just think that, you know, and that's sort of what we alluded to in terms of like, well, what's the really, you know, what flag are we really carrying? You know, I love that Jasmine brought it back to know it's really just about having a scoop first, so it's competitive, but competitive with standards, I would like to say. Did you want to chime in on that?
I don't, as far as the locker room, I understand the difficulty in that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand where it comes from, but at the same time, I'm not mad at the fact that I can actually go in there now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't be mad in Serena's locker room.
And this is what our four women, as I guess would say, fought for. You know, when these guys get out of the locker room, they walk away. They don't want to talk to nobody. They want to go about their business, about their night. So now when you separate it, it's like segregation. Now you separate it. Okay, you can talk to the men in here. And you have to talk to the women out here. I personally would be like, oh, come on, man, you know? And you're not going to get the same thing. I'm in there in the trenches with everybody else involved. And it's a beautiful feeling to know that all those microphones that's up, one of them's mine. You know what I'm saying? And I understand the difficulty. I understand what comes with it. But I wouldn't trade it.
But couldn't the industry just say, okay, now we're going to switch things up? Because if we're fighting for you to get the first scoop, which I agree, like, let's be competitive. But then if they say, okay, we agree these women should have access. So we're going, all your interviews will be outside the locker room.
But you're going to get the scoop by what you ask and if in the comfortability that the athlete or that person feels with you. And sometimes 9 times out of 10, if you can create a mantra off the air as well, as far as, hey, man, nice shoes. You know what I'm saying? They're people at the end of the day. They're still people.
Yes, this of is
right. You know what I'm saying? Right. They still do the same thing I do every morning before they walk into that arena. So at the same time, if we're in there together, if me and Chang are in there together, and he asks a question and he doesn't get a response, but I ask it in a different way that causes an emotion that warrants an answer, that's his fault he answered it. That's his fault he said it.
Or because you look better, because, you know, you might look better than me standing next to me. What created you? We're going to talk about what created both of you. Like, but why are you so, you know, fervent about sports? And, like, how did you come into being, Ramos?
Oh, man, my dad, shout out to Michael Ramos. Thanks for the last name.
Hey, Michael Ramos.
And whoever marries me, you must know that I'm going to get a hyphen. You know, my dad had two girls, so the Ramos is kind of sort of gone when he goes. So I kind of want to keep it just, I know I can't pass it, but kind of want to keep it around. But anyways, my dad played basketball. I mean, I could name every trophy in baseball, basketball, football that was in my grandmother's basement. He was a big athlete. And, you know, my cousins, I dabbled in playing myself, but I just noticed that I wanted to talk about it, for I was intrigued by being able to, at that time, be able to, I guess, yell with the guys. And I liked to write about it, and my dad, we would sit and watch the games, and, you know, I know I made it when he said, okay, Mikel, he would go in another room. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And back when the NBA on NBC was very big, and y'all know that jingle. Ahmad Rashad was on there, and back when Michael Jordan and the Bulls were really successful, and the camera panned to Hannah Storm, and I was about 9, 10, my life made sense. And ever since then, I've, you know, my favorite player is Kobe Bryant, the only player that could stand next to the GOAT, if you want my personal opinion. But when his career was ending, he had an interview with Ahmad Rashad. Don't quote me exactly, but he said, you know, a lot of people go their whole lives without finding the thing that drives them and what makes them go, and passion-wise. And he said, I was lucky enough to find basketball, lucky enough to find mine at a young age, and I could totally contest to that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Bianca, what about you, son? You know, what's part of your origin story to get you in this amazing sports world and has you authoring these three books? What led you to be here?
For me, I've always wanted to write, but I never had a story. And then I lived a little, experienced some things, and then I was given a story to write through my experiences.
Mm.
But it was after a breakup, which, you know, inspired these books, and I just started writing. So I've never written before.
So that's interesting. So you're from Baltimore, right?
I am from Baltimore.
So you said you never had a story. What do you mean? You mean personally, or you mean you just didn't feel
like
it was one?
I just didn't have a story. You know, when you hear people like, I journal or I blog, but to write a book, it's more than just, you know, a daily, you know, diary or something like that. It has to have a plot. It has to have interesting characters. You have to have a voice. And you actually have to have something that's entertaining that people want to read, that draw people in. And through, you know, my heartbreak, this story, it was like I was crying at my desk and then all of a sudden the tears were dried and I just had a story and I wrote the outline for four books. And right, you, in that moment.
This is a real book because it's 300 some odd pages. And while we're talking about the book, caller, what is it? The first caller that calls in gets a free copy of Sideline, the Draft, inspired by true events from Bianca Williams. And I want to tell you, you know, some of the opening scenes about the Baltimore Nighthawks, quote unquote. And, you know, are you ready to defend this house, quote unquote? It can be salacious. So it's a great book. And I think, you know, you want to call in and get a copy. You can talk to our producer, Iori, off the air. When we come back on the other side of the break, we will continue our conversation with Bianca Williams, with Mikel Ramos, and with Devonna Bell. You're listening to The Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Shanga Bell, on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Young lady is.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Welcome back to The Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Shanga Bell. You're on with, I don't know, that was some rock and roll stuff. That is Rainbow. That's how she
rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yes,
oh, man.
Shout out to my hometown, Walkersville.
Oh, man. Music to your ears. Music to my ears.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we were talking about, you know, sort of our origin story when we left for break. So we're just back and talking about women in this field of male-dominated sports, what's right, what's not right, proper protocol. But more importantly, you know, what this show is meant to do is inspire provoking thought to sort of wake folks up from, like, the dream of not being able to achieve your highest thought of yourself. I think the book is good for that because you, even just now before going off the break, you said, oh, I didn't really have a story. Well, that, you know, that's your opinion, obviously, about yourself, but now you have this story. So how do you get from this sort of, you know, bland place? What were the things you did inside? Was there an aha moment? Like, what really sparked you to start stepping in that direction, and you're still doing it to the point where you have, you know, top secrecy on these clients and everything else? I would consider your guys' business a success in a large manner. So what sparked that?
Well, through the process of running, it was definitely a lot of self-discovery, definitely learning how to, you know, seeing the mistakes that I made or not necessarily making the right decisions. I started putting myself first, loving myself first, and it's pretty much opened my eyes now to see things for what they are and making better decisions going forward. Again, keeping it professional. If we work together, we work together, and that's it, keeping that professional relationship.
What does that look like when you say putting yourself first? Like, because that's great, loving yourself first, putting yourself first. But a lot of times people can say those words, and I know that as a life coach, but then it's like what we do is end up making actionable steps. So is that you know, pushing aside the extra piece of lasagna so that you can be smile at just at a slimmer waistline, or is it something more ephemeral, more spiritual when it's like, I stopped doing that? You know, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, when I fell in love, or when I have fallen in love, I've kind of just like worried about the other person's needs. And, you know, if I wasn't necessarily being treated the way that I wanted to be treated, it was like, okay, I'll let it slide, you know, or like maybe eventually things are changed, or maybe at some point I'll start getting what I need. And then after a while, you kind of fall into a routine, and then your needs are not being fulfilled. Now I'm like, it's about me. I need to be happy in a relationship. It needs to be balanced. It needs to be a two-way street, not just one-sided, me all in and the other person only giving me a portion. You know, I always say, you know, love is an action word. You can say, I love you, I love you, I love you from now until the end of time, but it doesn't mean anything if it's not followed by action.
So is that like a priority shift, a value shift for yourself?
It's definitely a priority shift that I come first, regardless, at the end of the day, in any type of relationship that I get in. I want to make sure that it's balanced.
And that, and so that spilled over to business, or, you know, does that make you more whole in business? How did it affect your business once you became to start to prioritize yourself first and sort of love on yourself first?
For business, for the event planning business, it definitely helped because your client will look at you differently. They will respect you as a businesswoman. They won't treat you any kind of way. They won't talk to you any kind of way. They won't be disrespectful. They will respect you when you kind of put your foot down and have values.
All right. Ramos? Well, how do you feel about those questions? I'm being a little prying at this time. This is the prying part of the show. Yeah.
I mean, I think so now. I mean, for me, it's, you know, I'm in a place where I'm watching my friends getting married and I'm watching them have kids. And I'm not, and then the older I get, the bug is just there to want to do those things. I took a sociology class here, and I remember one of the things that was one of the subjects was, you know, a woman, this successful woman, she gets on a podium and she's being asked all these questions, and then they finally asked her, are you married or have children? And she kind of sort of froze, they said. And, you know, in that picture, in that frame, you know, as a woman, I want to be able to have it all. I want to be able to say I have this career and yeah, it takes me all over the place, but I can come home and I can be a mom and I can be a wife and whatever, what have you. And for me, it's just now finding the balance. But because I don't have that balance as of yet, I turn into a workaholic every once in a while. So it's like all I do is go, go, go. Because, you know, once I get to a place where I'm by myself, but it's time to go to sleep and then the day is over, you know. But, you know, one day. I want to hope to have it all. I have someone that understands. You know, going to your point, you know, it's hard when you're in a relationship not to be so concerned with the other person. Because if you really, truly love somebody, you love them more than you love yourself, you know. And if there's one thing that I've taken out of my former relationships of one guy in particular I've dated, you know, the thing that I particularly liked about the situation was that I was doing my thing, and then they saw a picture, and they said to me, I see you out here, and you're grinding, you're working. I just wanted to say hi. Mm-hmm. And that's the little things. You see me working, but now I can have the added incentive. So,
I want to highlight something you just said that I think, you know, a lot of brothers, I'll speak for brothers in general because I'm a African-American man, at least last time I checked it was. You said you love, you know, a significant other more than you love yourself. I think that's a significant thing for any man listening to really let the weight of those words hit you. That's a great responsibility. It's not a craziness. It's not like, oh, she crazy or this is sort of why people can flip out, because that is the true nurturing effect of, and again, I'm just going to speak for African-American women when I say that, because that is the experience I have from being married to my wife of over, 10 years, I say 11. Did I think that's a significant thing to look at and to not take for granted? You wanted to chime in, Devon?
Well, my number one, my heart goes out to, you know, women and men in the sports industry, because what I'm perceiving is that the culture that has been created, I'm hearing you like, yes, I long for relationship. I long for, you know, long-lasting, you know, care and love, you know, mutually from someone. But when we create a culture where, you know, you have to turn off and you have to be this word called professional, in a very unprofessional thing. Like, you know, I'm thinking, like, if my son gets to be at the place that I want him to be because he's a bomb quarterback thrower. So, you know, if he's in that space, I don't want him to have to not be able to have to turn off, to have to deny himself his feelings, his emotions. And we talk about wanting our men to be vulnerable and wanting them to be able to respond to us as women. But how can we expect that of them if we expect them to turn off, only see me for, you know, we're in the locker room, so only respect me in this way because, you know, I need respect. But if like you're saying, the moment that I had heartbreak, I went inside and I realized I needed to love myself. And so now I'm like, yeah, I understand that. And now as we learn to love ourselves, well, what empowerment do we come out of that? And it's, you know, I'm like, well, can you demand, because we have power. So can we demand that the organization makes a change? That's where we get to have a movement, where we talk to, because you are in with folks. So you get to say, oh, let me talk to the wife of, you know, the owner, because I'd really like to see this change in the industry, and, you know, where we all can respect one another in and outside of the locker room.
Yeah, I think you bring up, we have a call in line. Before I take that call, I think you bring up a good thing. You said the operative word, the culture. Mm-hmm. So it's been corporatized. So the corporate culture demands this because of litigation, liability, et cetera. And
right. We can't
not
do that to our,
exactly. To not having the dominant seat or the dominant stakeholder seat allows us to not be at the table to demand the policy of said corporate culture. Donna, we have a call. Donna from Baltimore, you own a relationship experience.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's your question or comment?
Well, I think in the sports industry, and have you noticed that when African American women, the few that have risen and gotten wealthy, like the Serena and Venus, and you know other women who've done well, dating is a whole different ball game with them versus males, because you know women, it's not too known to have so many, you know, two sisters who are wealthy and successful and great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you compare them with males, which you can't, and I think sometimes people can, but it's very difficult for successful women athletes to get married, especially if there's a lot of wealth. And I wanted your guest to talk about that. And my second point is, I wanted to make a point, is when you're dating two sisters, they're looking for love and the right person. You know, I've been married 22 years, and you have to find the guy, the person in your life who has the same interests as you. If there's a guy who likes sports, if you like sports, then you have to find, or you should find men who have the same interests. Skiing, I found my husband because we met on a ski trip. We both like, we're avid skiers. And then we liked other things. And then we had differences. But when you look for a male, a future mate, you have to look for things that where you have commonality, where you enjoy each other, and you start as friends. And then you build a relationship from the friendship. And then you build. And a lot of times we as African Americans will jump, you know, there are three or four, five stages of a relationship. We'll jump to stage four before we even finish one.
Yeah.
We really have to take our time, and you always build a friendship, and as time goes by, that friendship, hopefully with that guy, when he's ready, because men have to be ready, and they're usually not ready until by 35, between 35 and 40. You know, when men start getting ready, because, you know, when they start getting the house and whatever, that means they're slowly starting to settle down. So, you know, there are dating rituals that we as women, African-American women, don't know. And I studied it enough to figure out, okay, what was I doing wrong and what I need to do right? So I'm telling you, sisters, to hang in there and start really looking at what interests that you have that other guys have interest in, and, you know, build it from a friendship first.
Yeah.
And then slowly move into it. Like, don't wait too long, but, you know, don't. You know, just move the relationship along, but you have to have that interest. And I'll hang up and listen about the sisters, the wealthy, you know, athletic sisters out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. That was some 22-year experience tap dancing on the radio just now. That was all love. I really appreciate the comment and you calling in. And I want to say that, you know, you're speaking of something about trust and feeling safe to even explore those realms, because as both of these young ladies, I'll call them in not in any condescending manner, have spoken about, is that the time and the energy and the perfection at which and the fervent nature at which they pursued their interests so that they could be, quote unquote, professional. It takes so much time that you're only around who you're around. So then with Devonna's point is, well, like, if you're only around who you're around, but then there's this policy, this mandate, this thing that says, well, you got to keep professional, can't do that. It's very interesting that as the book details without any spoilers, that you have to sort of sever one professional side in order to become this intimate side. But, yeah, just speaking about changing the culture is interesting, but address anyone can address Donna's point. She made several cogent points. Pop in on anyone you like.
You want to go first? I mean, like I said, I want a regular smuggler. The allure of the athlete, as beautiful as it is, I mean, it's great. You know what I'm saying? But I you know, I can't.
You don't want the randoms and you don't want the phones. I mean, because that's part of the deal.
That's part of it. You know, I mean, you can have 5,000 women thrown at you. Yeah. And you could say no to them, and that 5,001 might just be the one to get through. I mean, right. At the end of the day, you have it thrown at you so much, how can you, you can't deflect so much, you know? But at the same time, like, I want to be able to say that, you know, and I had a conversation with a colleague today, you know, he met his wife in America, you know, they spent most of their time as friends and as colleagues apart, because she moved and had her professional career, he had her professional career. So, and finally they got together and they've been married for quite some time, and he was basically saying, well, you know, she knew what she was getting into when I just, because my career has me all everywhere, but she understands, you know, they both understand each other, and that's fine. I mean, it's crazy because as far as interests goes, it's funny that Donna brought up that, because I remember the first guy I ever dated at Morgan, one of his reasons for not wanting to speak with me anymore is because I wasn't girly enough. Hmm. I watched sports too much. And back then, you know, I'm not the goddess that I am now. You know, I was finding my way. And jeans and a t-shirt made me, it was good for me. But at the same time, you know, it made me think, like, what? Right. You know? But that's who I am, man. And then I tried to date guys that didn't like sports. And that didn't work, because what are we going to talk about, clothes? Right. What's our common ground? I mean, there's a lot of other things to talk about, of course, other than sports. But at the same time,
that's your interest.
Yeah, yeah, and then when I found the guy that, you know, granted, I mean, we can have our own post games in the house. I could, you know.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Changa Bell on The Relationship Experience on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. And author Bianca Williams was just going to discuss her some of her professional and personal opinions about being a woman working in this male-dominated sports industry.
So for the book, it's inspired by true events, but I never went into it like, oh, I want to date an athlete or land an athlete, pretty much how culture is today. I was already a professional. I've dated guys, the regular guys, and as we were speaking earlier, as the guest called in, we developed a friendship, and it was a very strong friendship that evolved into this relationship. And dating an athlete isn't like dating a regular guy. And you're right. They have women thrown at them all the time. And I used to ask, you know, are you telling women that you're in a relationship? And he said, they don't ask.
They don't care.
They don't care. They don't even ask, let alone care.
My seconds of fame or my moment with you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a very shallow way of thinking. And it is hard. And, you know, I do believe, and I believe a lot of athletes find love. And, you know, even in this situation, you know, I know what I know. And again, no spoilers, but I believe you can find true love being in this industry and working in this industry and working with these athletes. I do believe it is possible.
Yeah, I want to think in whatever industry you're in, it's really all about you. I want to give a shout out to Andrew for being the first caller and winning the book Bianca Williams wrote, Sidelines Address. So Andrew, I think you're from Baltimore. Thanks for calling in and getting that gift. Devonna, you look like you wanted to talk about that sort of being in a work environment, and well, a corporate environment. I think it's different with you and I. We're not in a corporate environment, so we can just blur those lines. But that sometimes makes it difficult. But you were in a corporate, in a government environment, which may be double corporate, where you did you encounter similar obstacles, or how did you deal with that?
That's interesting. No. Well, I was in a all women office. And
by design, I'd imagine. A HUD, you were working with HUD.
Yeah. I worked for HUD, you know, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And it was an all-female office. So it wasn't any, you know, any issue like that. But I have friends who also work in government offices, and that is a huge issue. It's like, well, you know, I have to keep it professional. You know, because if it doesn't, it can get ugly, because now we both have friends in there and, you know, he could be giving all my, you know, it can get ugly. So, you know, that is a interesting point that you bring up, because it is mirrored.
Is it fair that we're even asking this question, having this sort of panel discussion to women, because we don't hear this offered to Keith Olbermann or to men. I don't know that there's any time dedicated to a show to talk to any of the leading Olbermann or Berman about them keeping it profesh or real. Matter of fact, when that who's my man, where the book came out that he was seeing all the prostitutes in New York, Marv Albert.
Yes.
So, like, there was no question about his ethics or professionalism, which is probably why his name was in that book so many times. I don't want to judge, but so is it even fair, or do you have any sort of like irritation about us even having this discussion?
I mean, it's not. I mean, if life isn't fair, the world's not fair. No, this isn't fair. I mean, you made a point earlier. I mean, we ain't talking about how many men thrown at Serena. It's the misogynistic tone that we always talk about, and that pigness, and it's kind of sort of unfair to the guys too, because, you know, I mean, it's like she said, there's athletes out there that really are in love. I mean, look at LeBron. He's been with his wife since he was in high school. And I mean, and you haven't heard any points or anything aspects of that, you know what I'm saying? And look at Aisha Curry and Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. They truly, genuinely love each other. You can tell that they've known each other since college. She met him before he was nothing. And before he was something, and let's be real.
And let's be real, he was always something. He had that Dale Curry kind of.
Yeah, but when you talk about Steph Curry, I mean, Steph Curry also came into the league as an underdog. They say he was small. They say he was a shooter.
Right.
And he would never really make it really much in the league.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. And sort of mentality-wise, ego-wise, he was
and he had to propel his own stature. Right. And now we're looking in the league that people want to shoot the basketball because Steph Curry can shoot it so well.
Exactly.
You know, she also, and ladies, if you're going to date somebody with stature, one of the things that I always say, I mean, hey, if you want them for the money, that's fine. But make sure you got a beauty supply on, or your dreams are fulfilled outside of that. So when you walk away from this man, hey, or he walks away from you, whatever the case may be, I had something to fall back on. You know, Aisha Curry, she has her own identity outside of being Steph Curry's wife. I mean, even at Gabrielle Union, you could talk about her celebrity. She's a celebrity in her own right. But her and Dwayne Wade are friends. You can tell that, I mean, they have their own handshake, and it's relationship goals, and outside of him being who he was, she's still who she is.
I want to comment on something you said, because I think you come to a relationship whole. I remember when I got my motorcycle license, and that's when my masculinity was tested, because, you know, I started to notice all of these women driving motorcycles. And I remember coming in one day, it was hot as Hades outside. I had on all my gear, gloves, everything. And I said to my wife, I said, man, I was at this light, and this lady was across from me in a tank top with, you know, a half shell helmet. And she just nodded at me. She had a bigger bike. I was all covered up. I was in cast already. And I was like, I said, I felt some kind of way about who I am. And she said, well, are you preparing to fall? And I said, what do you mean? I mean, you know, I'm speaking for Devon. She's right here. And I said, no, I'm not preparing to fall. And she said, well, why do you have all that stuff on them? What are you trusting in? So in terms of that relationship piece, if you're coming in with it like, well, let me have my stuff, because when I walk away, you are definitely going to walk away. So it's just coming into it whole. And like you mentioned, Dwayne Wade and
Gabrielle Union.
I'm blanking on her name. She already had her. She was sort of whole Beyonce and Jay. Like, and I think there's a lot of emulation of people wanting to be these folks, but really getting to the undertone of it all is two whole people making a choice to come together and rock out and not planning to fail. That's just my comment. I didn't want to sort of speak over what you said, but I wanted to talk about
that. You've been talking about culture a lot, and this is what I'm saying in terms of us being females being empowered, and you said, is it a fair, you know, is this even a fair conversation, you know, conversation to have? And I say yes, because I don't think we realize our power. Mm-hmm. You know, we get something out of being the victim as well. And you don't have to come into your power if you're a victim. So if you're always, well, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, like, we have power. There, it should not be that we have to talk about outlier, you know, talk about, you know, really, really extraordinary famous people and how their relationships are working as if they're outliers. Like, it should be, oh, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And so we should be able to rattle off the culture of good relationships. And I think when we demand that, you know, and part of it is coming whole, like, or at least if both of y'all aren't, both of y'all be unwhole and come whole together. I mean, I'm not saying you got to have your life figured out. I did not have my, I did not have my life figured out when I met Cheng Bell. But we had an opportunity to grow together.
And certainly didn't have mine figured out.
Yeah, and Donna, you hit it right on. You read his book. He came into his own at 30
something. We're getting personal and shade. Bianca, it looked like you wanted to say something. Don't laugh at me on air.
It's all love.
All right. Well, hello?
Oh, this is Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine.
She's
okay.
On the line.
Yes, I didn't. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Well, I just wanted to say a couple of things. One, to piggyback off of when you said people being whole, I kind of wanted to address the uniqueness of the sports industry. Yes, maybe Joe Blow, who has went to college or went to work and had a trade, by the time he's 35, he's got his house, he's ready to settle down. You know, maybe late 20s, early 30s. But athletes are rich at 20, 21, 22. They have been a star athlete in high school and college. They have been so inundated with an inordinate amount of attention from both men and women that they do not have a realistic view of what real love feels like, what's real, what's fake. They have no idea what's real friendship. Does someone want to be my friend because they want to know me or because of who I am and what being around me means? And so I do want to give the perspective of they're in a very unique position, and then they're getting paid for what they physically can bring to the table, and they are expendable. This is their life that they're putting on the line, whether they're a football player, basketball player, baseball player. Every time they go out there, they can get seriously injured, and they have to do that to fulfill a contract. They get injured sometimes, get some medication, have to go back on the field because they got their family's hopes and dreams, their hopes and dreams, the owner's responsibilities, their paycheck is all on the line. So they live a very different lifestyle. For you to expect the average athlete to be whole emotionally, I think is unrealistic. A long time ago, a friend told me, don't get caught up on, I'm caught up on how things should be, I have to deal with how things are. And how things are is these young men don't get a chance to mature before they're put into this limelight, before they're dealt, they have to deal with all this responsibility. And I understand what you're saying about corporate culture. You know, why should you have to be professional? If you want to be a resource and build a business, I have to be able to say, I'm going to provide this service at this price because this is what I'm worth. You can go get it cheaper somewhere else, but you're going to get what you pay for. So if I don't stay professional and we have a personal relationship and they start looking for the hookup in the professional relationship, that's the impact. So that's why it's important to be professional, because it's not just the service that you're providing. It's because when they sign their check to their agent, when they sign their check to the realtor, they do that with no problem as long as they look at them as providing a professional service. If I don't stay professional, they're going to start looking at me to start barter down my price.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important to stay professional. I wanted to point out that
Give me 30 seconds because we got to wrap up soon. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to say Bianca, as she said, she has a background in finance. And she helped me build this business. We dealt with lots of athletes. This book is autobiographical about, you know, a particular situation. But we dealt with a lot of athletes. And she did a lot of work that we had to provide because of the lifestyle that they're used to.
Right.
And so there's a lot that goes into it. So there's a lot of points out there, but I just wanted to make sure we had that perspective in place. I think everybody's growing. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. What we'd like to see, and I think what Devonna was talking about, we weren't talking about not being professional, but changing the culture. So it's important. So it's a successful HBO show called Ballers. It'd be nice to see Sideline the Draft. So we just want to see, like,
how we empowering
women to not be a part of something that exists, but changing it by creating something new. So if black women want to have a different corporate culture, then so be it.
Shout out to Mary Jane.
That's what Sideline. The draft could be about. Yes, the game, all of these things. But take 10 seconds each. Tell social media handles and where they can get your book.
Okay, my book can be found on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and SidelineBooks.com and iTunes. It's pretty much available where all books are sold.
Everywhere. Just say everywhere. Just go ahead.
Everywhere. And my social media handles for Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are all Be Well Books.
All right, cool. And Echelon, you want to give a website for Echelon in the tent? Echelon?
No, you want to support Echelon, support Sideline the Draft.
There you go. All right, Ramos, where can we get you?
Oh, man, you can catch me here every Thursday on the NWA Sports Report on First Edition with Sean Yost. Every now and then I get a segment on Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad Carr, Roland Ramos. Very good conversation to be had on Friday. I don't know if you all heard the comments about Lupita Nyong'o made by a former Wizards player. So we're going to talk about that and what's going on in the hood. But Roland with Ramos. Mikel Sade on Instagram, MYKELLSADE, and on Facebook, Mikel Ramos.
And I want to thank all my guests, Devonna Bell, co-executive producer, Bianca Williams, Mikel Ramos, thanks for joining in. I want to thank Andre Melton, production assistants, Wayman Jones, Ali Post, producer Iori Odigizuwa, and a big thanks to you for listening to the show. Stay tuned for Jazz Straight Ahead with my main men, the twins, Jan and Eric Tegler, continuing inspiring legacy of family, knowledge, tradition, and of course, jazz. Coming up next on your source for cool jazz and more, WEA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.